Welcome to the StarNet Regions 1 and 3 podcast. My name is Emily Riley, and I am the Assistant Project Director for StarNet Regions 1 and 3 and your host for today's episode. I do have to say I'm pretty excited about our guest today, Jim Gill. Anytime I think of Jim, I am brought back to my college experience where I was first introduced to his music. So actually 20 years ago, I was an undergraduate student in the child development program at Northern Illinois University and was completing an internship at the child development lab. My friend Shawnee and I worked the opening shift on Friday mornings and just loved playing Jim Gill's music. And we would just dance around, sing, and just have a good old time as we were getting ready to start our morning. I should also mention, too, we would use the music with the children, too, not just for ourselves. But here now, today, I have the honor of interviewing Jim Gill about music in the early childhood classroom. So thank you so much for joining me today, Jim.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. So one of the things I wanted to start off with was just talking about how, of course, music is very prevalent in early childhood classrooms. Many professionals use it and think of songs as just fun games to play in the classroom. Or like me, when I was an intern, just found it fun and motivating to get ready for the day. But as educators gain more experience and kind of just think about it a little bit more, maybe have the chance to attend some professional learning on music in the early childhood classroom, they start to recognize there's so many learning opportunities and value to music and songs in the classroom. So this is not just a coincidence, correct?
No, it's certainly not a coincidence. And I loved your story because it's actually pretty similar to how I got started even doing all of this. When I was 20 years old, I was asked by this really wonderful agency, early childhood agency that served families with kids with special needs, a play-based program, and they asked me to lead developmental playgroups for families every Saturday morning. And so again, I was an undergraduate in college, just at the same kind of time as you were talking about in your story, but a few years earlier. And I was leading these developmental playgroups, and I want to make this clear, they weren't music playgroups, they were developmental playgroups. And of course, we did some music as part of it, some finger plays and people's recorded songs. And one of the things that I noticed and that the other staff people noticed was that the best moments of these developmental playgroups were the musical moments. So I started doing more and more and more music as part of these developmental playgroups and kept leading these developmental playgroups at other sites as well, therapy centers and family support centers, to the point where they became music playgroups as opposed to developmental playgroups. They still were, but now they were specifically like music developmental playgroups. And so, because again, it worked, they were successful. And then to getting to your point about like, this isn't a coincidence, I ended up through about this time going to graduate school. I have my master's degree in early childhood from Erickson Institute here in Chicago. And I decided, I think some people would have said, oh, you know what, the music has been so successful in these playgroups, I'll study music. Instead, my take was like, well, these are developmental playgroups, so I'm going to study play. And one of the things that I was kind of interested in was how music was a great way to play. And it is, there's a lot of wonderful things about music developmentally for children in general, but it's certainly, we all know as early childhood people that play is how there's so many opportunities for children to learn through play. And one of the things that I discovered was really, well, music is a great way to play, right? I mean, it's got all of these things in it. So that became my career, more or less. So I kept doing the playgroups, but I think graduate school made me better at thinking about, again, like you said, like this isn't a coincidence. There's all these opportunities for children to learn. So I'm happy to share some of those if you want to know.
Of course, we would love to. Yeah.
Well, lately, I mean, I can go on and on, but this is a podcast, so let's keep this short and sweet. I've been focusing on three lately, and these are going to be three different little points that I'll make, but of course they're all intertwined because that's how development works, right? You can focus on various things, but you can also see the interconnections. And some of them are going to be, I have my banjo here. Some of them are going to be, I think, kind of a little obvious too. The first is, and I think obvious for a good reason, one thing about music that I think really works well in working with young children is that there's opportunities for children to move, because young children need to move, whether it's fine motor or gross motor. I'll focus on, I mean, I have finger plays for fine motor things, but let's focus on some big gross motor movement activities. I think everybody, this is just common sense. Everybody knows why. But a good example would be one of my songs, the List of Dances. I'll play a tiny bit of it. There's a little intro. I made a list of all the dances in this song. I made a list so that I'd never sing them wrong, because it's hard to remember and easy to forget. A list that is 16 dances long. All right, then here's all the opportunities to move. You do the tall, you stretch way up tall. You do the small, and then you go way down small. You do the hop, obviously, and then you do the stop, and then you stop. You do the slow, you do the tiptoe, you do the curl, whatever that is. You do the twirl, kids know what that is. And it goes on and on and on throughout there. Hey, can I play a tiny bit of the recording of that? Because I played it out there on my banjo. But in classrooms, one thing I love is that a lot of teachers use my recording of it. Can I play a little?
Yes, yes, please do.
All right, let me just play a tiny bit of it here. Because it, when your story about like, oh, in the morning, my colleague and I would dance around. This is the type of thing I'm thinking that you liked about my music.
Way up tall, you do the small, you do the hop, and the stop, you do the slow, do the tiptoe, you do the curl, and do the twirl.
And of course, it goes on and on and on throughout the 16 dances, and then you dance it backwards. So again, you know, the thought of you dancing around in your classroom to a song like that really cracks me up.
Well, it's a good thing we just have audio today, because I don't know if people wanted to see my dance moves.
You can't stop it. Well, that's actually one of the other wonderful things about music, is that it makes, not only is it great for the kids, but right, it makes us in a better mood as professionals, right? I agree. The music comes on. It's why I wanted to play the recording. The music comes on, you start moving, you get goofy and smiling. So that's that. But again, so opportunities to move. Obviously, there's lots of movement in that one. But it doesn't even stop there, right? Because all of a sudden, what early childhood teachers do is, because it's a list of dances, most early childhood teachers end up writing out the words tall, small, hop, stop, slow, tiptoe. Kind of like, you know, in a classroom, I'm sure you remember, over the window, you would put a little sign that said window, and over the door, door, you know, things like that, right? Where you,
yep,
to kind of add the text to these common experiences. So in this way, people turn it into an early literacy activity, all those things. But mostly, you get to move. And that just adds a lot of joy and adds a lot of, I think, obvious. There's a lot of great developmental implications, obvious ones, for movement. So that's the first thing I was thinking of. And here's the thing, again, you can't kind of separate, as I mentioned, there's movement in almost all of my songs, just different kinds of movement. If you're ready for number two, one of the other things that I've been thinking about lately is how, when we're using music in a classroom, it allows us to think about how many opportunities there are for children to exercise focus and listening. And I think this is important, again, coming out of my background as again, like leading developmental play groups and using music in that way, as opposed to coming at it from a musical standpoint. Because sometimes what people think of with music is like kind of a free-for-all, like you put on some music and woo! But my songs, because of how they were created, again, through use and developmental playgroups, they're not free-for-alls like that, right? It's not just get out the shakers and go crazy. There's, again, these opportunities to really listen for the words in that last one. You do the tall, you do the small. So you've got to listen for the words, and you get to move while you're doing that. Another example of one that I think is great for this exercising focus and listening is, as instead of a full body movement, it's a hand clapping, foot stamping, knee slapping song called Can't Wait to Celebrate. In this one, so you'll be clapping and stamping and slapping your knees until it's time to stop and wait. And then you can kind of stop clapping, stop stamping. And you're going to know it's time to stop and wait. Here's the focus and listening part. When you hear me sing that it's time to wait, way up high. And so what's kind of fun about this one is kids get really clapping along in a rowdy way, and then they stop and wait. And so it's a stop and go game, but they've got to listen for that cue, whether it's the word wait that they're listening for, or just that tone wait, where they stop and wait. Here, can I play a little bit of it for you? Maybe you should clap along, because I can't clap and play the banjo at the same time. All right, ready? We clap our hands and we get together, clap our hands to celebrate. Clap our hands and we get together, my friends and I can hardly wait. To stamp our feet when we get together, stamp our feet to celebrate. Stamp our feet when we get together, my friends and I can hardly wait. And it goes on and on. We do slapping knees. We do bouncing up and down, all those things. But again, there's opportunity to move, usually in your seats in this one. But for me, it's that listening for that cue, that
way. That anticipation.
There's that anticipation. Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
That makes it. And of course, what we know is, you know, we know focus in general is important when it comes to school readiness, right? How important it is to be able to gather and focus. And of course, listening, important for listening. If it's the sound, right, that way, we know that that's auditory acuity, right? That sharpness in hearing. And if you're listening for that difference there, well, you know, there's obviously literacy implications for that. If you're listening for the word wait, same thing, right? All of these things work together. So that's one of the things that I have been thinking a lot about lately is, yeah, that's a really, it's a fun game to play in the classroom, like you mentioned. But as one of my mentors said years ago in these developmental play groups, she always said to me, Jim, these are fun, but they are more than just fun. and so I've made that, I guess, into my career. So again, I love games where the children are really listening for the words like that, and they have that focus. And I got one more if you're ready.
I'm ready, yes.
All right, one more thought. And again, I mentioned these are all tied together. And you mentioned anticipation in that last one, right? Where they're kind of like, because one of the other things that I love about music, and especially, I guess, the musical games that I was creating through these playgroups, was how many opportunities there are for children to exercise self-control and self-regulation. A lot of these playgroups, I ended up leading those playgroups, like I mentioned, for a period of about 20 years. And a good number of those were spent working with families with kids on the autism spectrum. And so these self-control, self-regulation games were, I guess, especially useful in those. They were successful in those programs. Again, some of these I was leading before I went to graduate school, before I knew there was a word called self-regulation. I just knew that they worked in the classroom. But one of the great things about graduate school is I could say, oh, this is why it works. Oh, that's called self-regulation. That's impulse control. That's whatever. That sounds very fancy. Let me give you an example of a song that comes straight out of my playgroups. One that was, I think, I'll give you two for this, two examples. But one is called Spin Again. It's basically a fast and slow stop and go game. On the fast part, kids get to spin, a great fun sensory activity that children of all different abilities enjoy. But when the music stops and gets slow, kids, you know, the game is you kind of stop and wait. And of course, you can enjoy how dizzy you are during that part, but it's hard to wait. And the fun of it is, like you mentioned, you get to anticipate doing it again. So, you know, it's like the slow part. Let me tell you of the origin of this game that I call Spin Again. One day I felt within that I must begin to spin. Begin to spin, 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 begin to spin. Whoa, hey, wait. Suddenly I wore a grin. I was filled up with adrenaline. I felt within that I must spin. Again. Spin again, spin, spin, spin again, spin, spin, spin again, spin, spin, spin again, spin, spin, spin again. Well, I gotta sing the third verse. I was losing my self-discipline. My need to spin was genuine. I felt within that one last time I must spin again. And I really like to make them wait. Spin, spin, spin again. Spin, spin, spin again. Spin, spin, spin again. One more time. Spin, spin, spin again. Spin, spin, spin again. Spin, spin, spin again. Spin, spin, spin again. Silly, right? A big hit in the playgroups. And one of the things I remember where, you know, the family members saying, like the kids are like, look at how they're stopping and waiting. Like, they don't wait like this. And it's because it's this wonderful game. You know, again, we know that about play, right? Children show you abilities when they play that you don't see when you're trying to make them do it, right? If it's a test, they're not gonna play along. But in a game like this, the wait, like freeze tag, they wait, and that tells us something. And of course, for me, music is just a great way to kind of have a context for playing a game like that. It works out perfect. So there's spinning. I can give you a bouncing one if you want as an example. Yeah. So again, and of course, in the beginning, I said there are opportunities to move. And I think every one of these songs I'm sharing with you as examples. Are all movement games. So this is one called Have You Seen the Trampoline? And again, very comes straight out of my playgroups, very similar to the game we just played, Spin Again, except in spinning and stopping. In this one, you're going to be bouncing on a trampoline. So there's kind of three parts. The first part is the slow part. And in the slow part, in my playgroups, I would have kids kind of look around for the trampoline, kind of look around, you know, making the motion. And then there's the clap along, have you seen the trampoline? And then in the third part, they find the trampoline. And of course, they get to, what do you do when you find a trampoline?
Well, jump, jump.
They get to jump and bounce. So it's, you know, you got to have that waiting part. Have you seen the trampoline? Please look around. Look what we found. We found a trampoline. And then, of course, there's the bouncing. slogan. Look around. The slow part. So that's how I would play it in my playgroups. Can I play you a tiny bit from my recording? Because it sounds a lot better.
Please do. Yeah, I thought that sounded great, though.
Well, you know, the great thing about working with musicians like I do is that I play them the game like that on my banjo. And I say, like, so, you know, it's a fast and slow game. So on the slow part, make it really dramatic. And there, of course, if you're a musician, you can do that. And then I said, you know, and then on the bouncing part, like, let's have some music that really kind of illustrates bouncing to really inspire, you know, bouncing up and down on a trampoline. So here is what they came up with, which I love here.
Well, I have a 4-year-old at home, and I don't think she really needs a lot of cues for jumping and bouncing around.
Well, no, they don't need the cues for bouncing and jumping. What they need the cues for is stopping and waiting.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Here we go. Last time here. Here we go. Here's the waiting music. You can hear it's like, oh, what are we going to do? Look around.
Have you seen the trampoline?
The clap along.
Please look around. Look what we found.
They find the trampoline. And then it's just kind of bouncy music, perfect for toddlers, right? Kind of bouncy. And then, you gotta wait. Look around.
Have you seen the trampoline? Please look some more. It's on the floor.
Trampoline again.
A happy march right now, bouncing in the chair.
All right, so there, worth waiting for, I hope. So again, you know, it's this pretty much the same kind of structure as a lot of my songs are, you know, like, woo, very active movement. But then, and I think given what I was doing for a living, right, developmental playgroups, active movement, as you said with your daughter, not the hard part, but, you know, it's that then gathering yourself and stopping and waiting and then being ready to be excited to do it again and then stopping and waiting again. So those are just off the top of my head, three little points about music that I like to focus on.
Yeah. Well, that was really fun. And I'm going to play the trampoline song tonight because that's not one we've actually used in my household very much. So I'm going to give that a try tonight.
Well, they're all available on those streaming devices, you know, Spotify and Apple Music and Pandora and all those things. You can find it.
All right. Well, thank you. And yeah, thanks so much. One of the words I heard a lot today, I think, was joyful. And I actually have been also doing a podcast series on developmentally appropriate practice. And one of the words they use in their definition about developmentally appropriate practice is really like bringing back the joy into learning. And myself as an adult right now, as a former educator, I just felt really joyful being part of this podcast. And so I hope our listeners today can just kind of spread the joy that this gave some joy to them, and they can spread that joy to the children and families that they serve. So thank you so much, Jim, for joining us.
I appreciate it. And I think that's a really wonderful development, right? To be using that word joyful and joyous as part of it's a part of our work, and it is what makes early childhood a different profession, right? That we don't want to lose that. That is what is professional. You know, the play and the joy, that is professional in early childhood. So thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, sure. All right. Well, thanks to all of our listeners for joining us today. So if you happen to be a Jim Gill groupie, or maybe you're new, you liked what you heard today and want to learn more, you can register for an upcoming workshop that we are hosting, StarNet Regions 1 and 3. We have a workshop on November 17th with Jim. It is a joyous way to learn. There's that joy word again, right? A joyous way to learn. So you can check out our website, StarNet Regions 1 and 3, and register through our website. Thanks for listening to this podcast today. Take care, everyone.